God's infallible word from Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. For those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion of four foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. And the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, David is fleeing again. For years he has been fleeing from Saul, and now he is fleeing through the deserts and the hills and the valleys of Israel. We see that he's in the wilderness. In the title of this psalm, we see that he is in the wilderness of Judah. And we see that he, from the first verses, that he is longing in a thirsty and a dry land. And we see also from the end of this Psalm 63 that he's being pursued. There are enemies. He's hiding. He's hiding in the desert of Judah. Enemies. For years he had been fleeing for Saul, but this time it was worse. It was for his very own son, for Absalom. He was betrayed by Absalom. He had taken the throne from David, and now he was on the point, David was on the point of losing everything. Everything. His throne, his kingship, his own life. Now children, if you are on the point of losing everything, what would you do? What would you do? How would you respond? We have all kinds of situations that are unpleasant and that are threatening in our lives. We might have a bleak future. We might have family troubles. We might have, some of us might know what it means to have a lost job or being opposed or attacked or maybe even mocked at your work when you speak about the Lord. Trials and difficulties are never spared. We're never spared from trials and difficulties in life as Christians. But what are our responses to such kind of trials and difficulties that you can relate to in your own life? Now, isn't it often that we start worrying and panicking? Or maybe we start praying and we come with a stream of prayer requests. Lord, I want this, I want this. I want out of here. Because we find it difficult. We find it hard. Or our minds are just going to one direction constantly. To this is the problem. That's the problem. Do you have that sometimes? Or we heard this morning about that we can respond in anger. And that we are turning away from God. If God does allow this in my life, then will I serve this God? But tonight we are going to look to David's response, and it's a godly response, a beautiful response. And honestly, it takes grace to respond like this. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to stay calm in situations that we find hard and difficult in our lives. Like David here in this psalm, to stay calm is not easy. But if we know what David knows, if we have the God of David, then we can stay calm. We can breathe that same kind of confidence as David is breathing in this psalm here. How is that possible? No? David knew there was someone better than life. Everything in life. Someone. And that's our theme this evening. Better than life. First of all, we are going to look at God, who is David's desire. Secondly, we look at him as he delights in God and how that works. And what does it mean to delight in God? And then finally, he finds God is his defense. Now, the first point will probably take most of the time, and the second two points will be a little shorter. But I invite you to come along and to listen to David as he sings this psalm. And as we learn the secret of his trust in the Lord, his confident trust, first of all, he says, in verses 1 through 4, he says, basically, God is my desire. There are several things that David is longing for, and maybe you should keep your Bible open as I direct you through this psalm, but he has several things that he is longing for. But before he is longing for anything else, he expresses his confidence in the Lord. He begins with those beautiful words, O God, thou art my God. And if we are in trouble, and if we are in circumstances that are not so nice in our lives, that's half the battle. If we can say only what David is saying, O God, thou art my God. Because then we are looking in the right direction. If we can say only that he is with us, then one thing is certain in our lives. Whatever the situation is, that makes all the difference. God is my God. Have you ever said the same? Oh God, thou art my God. Even maybe with tears and with difficulties all around you. If we can say the same in circumstances that are troubles, then we are, that's half the battle. Because often our trials and troubles, and we all have them, they either make us or break us. They either bring us closer to God in prayer, or we recall and we go away from God. But if we can only, with the grace of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, do what David does and say and cling to that simple truth, Oh God, thou art my God, trusting, that is such a blessing. That is such a blessing. And when you think about the situation that David was in, his son Absalom had been grabbing for the throne, and he was being led out of, or fleeing out of, Jerusalem. And then at a certain moment, when we read that history in 2 Samuel 15, we see that they were coming to David and say, David, do you want the ark to come with you? Yeah, the symbol of God's presence, the priest Zadok, came to him. But David says, no, I don't need the ark at that time. He said this, and the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it, the ark, and his habitation, the tabernacle. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him, God, do to me as seemeth good unto him. So the situation was not pleasant for David when he was writing this psalm. And he starts with these words, O God, thou art my God. And we just hear that he entrusts himself entirely to the Lord. When he was in that situation, we see that same kind of trust. If the Lord has pleasure in me, He will bring me back. I will see the ark again. I will see God's house again. But if not, God will do what is good. What a trust. What a beautiful trust in the Lord. He was about to lose everything, but what he does, he clings to God. He says, "Oh God, thou art my God. Everything in my life is in the hands of the Lord." That is strong faith. Same as what we see in this text. In these troubles, David strengthens himself in the Lord. It teaches us something, doesn't it? And when, whatever you go through, that God says to us or shows us through this psalm, you are to lean on me. You are to trust in me. You are to look to me. I'm the almighty ruler. That's what the word God means. I'm in control of everything. I'm the sovereign Lord. I'm the all-powerful one. If you need anything, look to me. Now, maybe you say, well, I don't have such big troubles as David has. But what about your little annoyances throughout the day? What is this? What is happening to me? What do you do? You say, oh Lord, help me. Oh Lord, I don't know how to respond very well in this situation. Those little annoyances, the things that we're irritated by, those are the training grounds to already say something like this. Oh Lord, oh God, thou art my God. Help me. Because then we are saying with David, God is my refuge and strength in whatever comes to me. God is better than anything else. God, I desire him. He is my God. And that brings calm to our life. When we look away from circumstances and say, Lord, help me. God is my God. That's the first thing that David says. And how important that is. Can you say that tonight? God is my God? If not, we will hear how we can learn to say that when we look away to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the second thing that we see here, David saying in verse 1b, he says basically this, I long for God. I long for him. He says, early will I seek thee. And the word early can also be translated just the same as earnestly. Do you sometimes feel weak in the faith? And you wonder, how can I affirm the same as David is saying here in this psalm? Oh, are you seeking the Lord earnestly? Earnestly. With your whole heart. You must have him. You must know him. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Come with your whole heart. And this word earnestly or early, both can be true about this word, can also mean early. Are you seeking the Lord as soon as you open your eyes in the morning? Is God the first in your life? That when the morning comes, and when this word means also dawn, when it dawns, that you seek, I need God now. Or are there other things on your mind? What things are on your mind? Just the things that come from yesterday evening when you were going to bed and you filled your minds, and maybe the troubles and the trials? Or is it, I thirst. I need communion with God. That's first and foremost. I'm longing for God. That's what we see here with David. David is longing for God. And what is salvation but that God gives us those prayers and those breathings after God, those longings after God. God comes and restores salvation to us when we start to long after God. Do you long after God? Because it... The best thing in the earth, in this world is to know him. That's what eternal life is all about. If you want to know eternal life, then you need to know him who gives it. God. It says here in John 17, it says, "This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." Knowing God, do you know Him? Do you desire Him? Do you long after Him? Or what else is it that you're longing after? You need to know Jesus Christ. You need to know Him who gives life. Whom to know is eternal life. Do you desire Him? He can give your faith tonight. He can make your faith strong. Even in times when things don't go so well. David was here in the wilderness of Judah, as we see from the title. It was blistering hot. Those times in the wilderness were not very pleasant. You could easily faint if you don't have water. You could feel very weak. You feel very unable. Maybe that's how someone feels tonight. I have no power. I'm weak. I'm faint. You can feel miserable. That's what's happening here with David in this psalm. He's in the wilderness. He's faint and weak. And actually he uses that as a picture of what is happening in his heart spiritually. When he says in verse 1, "My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Well, when you don't have water in the wilderness where David was, you feel weak, you feel miserable, you feel faint. Isn't that a picture of what we have because of our sin, because of our fall in Adam? We feel weak, we are actually dead in sin and trespasses. But when God comes to us and makes us desire after Him after His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have still some times in our lives that we long for God Himself. God is what I desire. I long for Him. I have this soul thirst. And that soul thirst for God, that quenches all the other thirsts in our lives. Has that quenched all the other thirst in your life too? The thirst for, "I want it this way," or "I want more ease, I want more pleasures, I want more things of the world, I want more money, I want more possessions," or whatever it is. "I want to be recognized." All those things that we thirst for because of our sinful heart, they can only be replaced with a thirst for God. When God comes with His Spirit, He gives that to us. Are you crying out for that? For God to replace our thirst for all the other things with Himself? And David is desiring God in this psalm. And it's not the first time. We know that. From Psalm 42, for instance, there he says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Psalm 84 as well, "My son, soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." And when we are made alive by the power of God, we thirst for God. We do long for God, because Jesus said it Himself, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." Are you hungering and thirsting after the right things? Are you hungering and thirsting after God tonight? That is what we need. And that's what Jesus Christ promises to sinners like you and me. Do you remember that time that He was with the woman at the well? What did He say to her? She was drinking from the pleasures of the world. She was drinking, thirsting after the wrong things. What did He say to her? He said, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." That is what Christ gives in salvation. That is what He still gives to sinners who have been thirsting after all the wrong things. That is what Christ can give to you tonight. You know why? Because He promises in Revelation this very thing. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He promises. He promises. Have you ever drunk? Have you ever come to this Savior? Have you ever said, Lord, make me to drink. Put the cup of salvation on my lips so that I can drink. Because I've been thirsting for all the wrong things. I long for God. I want to know Him. That's what God does in salvation. When He makes you alive, He makes you drink, He makes you desire, He makes you long for Him and for Him alone, no longer for the pleasures of the world, no longer for sin, no longer for self. And that's what David does here. That's because David is a child of God. He longs after God. And that's the desire of every saved soul here tonight. I long after my God. I need to have Him. He is my desire. What does he see, want to see about God then? Well, He tells us in verse 2, doesn't He? I long to see His power and His glory. Verse 2 says it like this, to see Thy power and Thy glory as I have seen in the sanctuary. There He is in that wilderness, away from the tabernacle, and He remembers those times of worship where he saw the glory of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord, the power of the Lord. How did He see that, children? How did He see that? Perhaps He was thinking about that glorious cloud that rested upon the tabernacle that showed that God was there. Maybe that's what He was referring to. But one thing is certain, as soon as he would go to the tabernacle, he would meet a priest, and the priests were to instruct the people the way of salvation. And then he would do that by showing him the altar. Come to the altar for a moment. What do we see? We see the fire burning. We see the holiness and the justice of God needs to consume us when we don't thirst for God. When we think there is something better than God in life. That altar shows us the fire, the justice of God, the holiness that needs to consume us when our longing is not after God. But it also shows us that when we come with the right sacrifice, when we come with a lamb, unblemished, perfect lamb, and when we come and that lamb is going into the fire on our place after we have laid our hands upon that lamb, there is then forgiveness. The priest could say, you're forgiven. Look, this lamb was in your place. There's peace for those who trust in the sacrifice. And isn't that pointing us to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. When we by faith are laying our hands, we deserve the wrath, we deserve the fire, but He took the fire. He took the wrath of God. He wrestled in Gethsemane like a worm and no man. He took that despised cross. He in my place. Then we see the power and the glory of God. That He is a forgiving God. That He is a merciful God. That He is a just God, a holy God. We see the glory and the power that He is able to forgive us to the uttermost because He has punished my sin in Him, in Jesus Christ. That frees us to worship Him. And then the priest could say, come with me to that laver for a moment. Look into that laver of polished brass. Do you see yourself? Yeah. I see myself. I'm a sinner. But look, there's clean water. It purifies you from all your sins. Isn't that amazing? It equips you for service. Now you can serve God acceptably. That's what is water points. It cleanses you all the way. It's pure. It points us to the work of Jesus Christ in salvation, doesn't it? It purifies. He comes to us and He comes and sprinkles clean water upon us. Where we were dirty. He sprinkles clean water, the power of the Holy Spirit. He equips us. He purifies us. He washes us. He makes us ready to serve Him and willing to serve Him. Do you see the glory and the power of God in salvation through Jesus Christ? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, He's able to purify you. He's able to make you serve God acceptably. And God shows it to you. That's what we see in the tabernacle. That's what we see in Jesus Christ. Now, he was not allowed to come. David was not allowed to come to the lampstand. But he knew about the lampstand. A priest could tell him about it. What does that mean? God enlightens our minds. God shows us that he favors us. He shows us what salvation is all about. He where our minds are dark, he comes with blessing, he comes with favor, he comes with light, and he shows us the beauty of whom? Of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, who enlightens our hearts, who opens our hearts to understand the Word, so that we no longer walk in darkness, no longer walk in the darkness of our sins, but that God shows, I favor you. For Jesus' sake. That's the glory and the power that David heard about in the tabernacle. And that's what he's longing for in this psalm again, to see thy power and thy glory. And the priest could have taken him again to told him again about the showbread, the table of showbread. I can feed you. Those 12 tribes were represented in those 12 pieces of bread on that table of showbread. That shows God favors, he shines upon his people from the light, so on that table, and he feeds his people. They are in his presence. They are in his presence when they are under the word of God. When they see and look away to Jesus Christ. When we, as New Testament believers, look to the bread of life who says to us, I can satisfy your soul. We see the glory of God and the power of God to satisfy our souls. Through the word of God. That's what he does to his people. Do you know something of the power of that word in your life, that you're satisfied with God? It points us to the goodness of God, doesn't it? And that goodness of God needs to lead us to repentance. Or the priest could say, come, you know, there is a beautiful altar of incense there. And the high priest goes there and prays and comes before God and with the people upon his breast and upon his shoulders, representing his people, and he comes and he prays on behalf of the people. Maybe there is here someone tonight who says, I don't know how to pray anymore. Now then look to the high priest. He goes in on your behalf. He comes before the Lord and he prays. Who's that high priest? Who's that high priest? You know that, right? It is the Lord Jesus Christ, that greater high priest of his people, who prays for his people. When you can pray, when you can only groan, when you have difficult circumstances. And he goes there with coals from the altar, and he brings that incense from that altar where the blood has flowed, and because of that call from the altar, he brings that in before the Lord. He brings it in, pleading the blood of Jesus Christ before the face of God, pleading the blood before the face of God. Therefore, God hears his prayers. And therefore, when we trust in a greater high priest, Jesus Christ, tonight, and we don't know how to pray, but we look away to him tonight and say, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to have communion with thee. Teach me to look away from myself and to see the glory and the power of God, of someone who prays on my behalf. A high priest, Jesus Christ, in heaven. And he says, the throne of grace is open. I can come whenever I need, have need, whenever I need to pray. That's the power, that's the glory of the tabernacle. And that glory and that power leads us to Jesus Christ tonight. Do you see Him? Do you trust in Him? Do you love Him? Do you need Him? He's there. He's here. He's in the Word. He's there for you. Do you long to see His power? Then look to Jesus Christ. Do you long to know that you're loved? And listen to this. David longed to know that. He says, I long for His loving kindness, verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life. He longed to see the glory and the power, but now he comes to the loving kindness, because from that glory and power that God shows in the tabernacle, He shows His love, His commitment to His people, His steadfast love. It's on display in the tabernacle. It's on display in Jesus Christ. It's on display in the cross, in everything that He has done. Are you longing for that? David is longing for the loving kindness of God. What does that mean? That God is committed to His people. That God is a covenant-keeping God. That He keeps the covenant from His side. That we who broke the covenant, we who don't long for God by nature, we who do all the wrong things, that He keeps the covenant. That He has a steadfast love for sinners. And that He from His side says, I can welcome sinners because Christ has done it all. Christ has done it all. It is finished. So that He can come to you tonight and say, while you are yet a sinner, are you yet a sinner? And at that time Christ died for us. That's what He can say tonight to you. Through His Word. And that's what He says to through His Word. And if you are longing to be loved by God, He says this as well. How does that love get there? Well, if you really desire to know His love in the face of Jesus Christ, we only love Him because He loved us first. So you first need to look to the love that is there in Jesus Christ on display, and that attracts our love. That attracts our love. So do you look to the Lord Jesus Christ? Everything is finished. And David says something more. He not only longs for the loving kindness, he says that loving kindness is actually better than life. Better than life. Better than every circumstance I can be in. He was in challenging circumstances. He was in the wilderness. His life was filled with all kinds of troubles. Maybe your life is filled with all kinds of troubles and disappointments and hardships. Why is that? Maybe you ask, why is that? Why is that happening to me? Well, may you learn with David that God's loving kindness is actually better than all life circumstances. That you long after God. That you say, God is my desire. That you say His love is better. Better than anything else in this world. Better than my circumstances, even when they go easy or even when they go difficult. And that's also what we need to learn. And that's also what Paul learned, didn't he? He said, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. There you see the same desire. And now he focuses on Jesus Christ, and that's what we need to do. We're living in the New Testament time. We focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to know Him. We want to know His loving kindness. and none to know it better, is love shown in the cross, shown by his perfect life. And David says there's nothing better, nothing better. All the Old Testament pictures, they pointed to the love of Jesus Christ. And that loving kindness, God's commitment to his undeserving people, that alone can keep you calm when you go through trials and tribulations. When you and I learn to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, who crawled in Gethsemane, who cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When we keep our eyes on the one who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. When we look to him, then we can stay calm. And when we see that God is so committed to us, committed love, then we learn the lesson, and sometimes it's a hard lesson to learn, that all things must indeed work together for good for those that love him. If you're here tonight and you're longing for that love, you need to look to the Lord Jesus. You need to look to the Lord Jesus and trust him. Whatever happens in your life, whatever happens, from his side, he has finished all the work. He doesn't require any righteousness from your side. Not any good deed, because every good deed is not good enough in God's sight. Look to the sacrifice. Look to Jesus. And then you can learn as well the love of God, the commitment of God, and that all things must indeed work together for good. And then you can learn to have a calm heart even in the the hardest situations of your life. And when you taste of that love, you want to do what David wanted to do in this psalm. You want to praise him. You want to glorify him. And that's what he says a few times in this psalm. I long to praise him. Do you see? God, he desires to praise God. That's what you see in this psalm. Verse 3, my lips shall praise thee. Verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Verse 5, my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lip. When you and I understand that there is nothing that we can add to our salvation, but that God comes with an outstretched arm and says, everything is ready. And says, come, drink for your satisfaction. Will you not praise him? Will you not relish in his salvation? Will you not say, God, oh God, my God, I will praise him. He is my desire. He can fill my longings, my heart longings. I see his power. I see his glory. I see his loving kindness, his committed love despite of my sins. And so you adore him. With David, you praise him. And you say with Asaph, whom have I in heaven but thee? There's none on earth that I desire. Let's sing that together. Psalter 203, 1, 3, and 5. David says, God is my desire. And secondly, he says, God is my delight. That means he's my joy. He's my satisfaction. He's all that I need. And he says that in three ways in the following verses, verses 5 through 7. He says it, first of all, I am satisfied with God. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Now, that doesn't ring a bell with us necessarily. The picture that David here is using is that we can be satisfied with a good meal. And probably David is also still thinking in terms of the tabernacle, where they have a sacrificial meal, when they had laid the hands by faith on the sacrifice, and the sacrifice had gone on the altar, then there was a sacrificial meal. They partook of the altar. What happened there? That's a picture of faith. We look to the altar, what Jesus has done, and faith says, it's for me. And that satisfies. That satisfies. That's what we have in Jesus Christ. We have a banquet open to us in Jesus Christ, a gospel banquet, to eat the richest food, to be satisfied with God and God alone in Jesus Christ. When we think about Jesus Christ, what do we have in Jesus Christ? Well, He represents us. Even from the very start, we are born in trespasses and sins. But He came and took our human nature. We remembered it in Christmas. And He can therefore redeem our human nature because He is God and He is man. And then His perfect righteousness. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is full of righteousness. He never sinned. He perfectly lived His life with gentleness and mercy and meekness and lowliness. And He welcomed sinners to Himself. A perfect life. Satisfied with Jesus Christ. Eat, drink, beloved. Drink of the fact that He took the wrath of God over your sin. That now, because He took that wrath, He can set me free from sin and He can give His peace. Peace of God that passeth all understanding, that can keep our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Focused on Jesus Christ. He took the wrath. He took all of it. For me. And we eat by faith. He rose. He rose again. What glory. He rose in power and victory. He rose to show that sin and death and hell don't have the last word in my life. And I eat and I drink and I know that resurrection power through faith is working in me, making me alive. And we eat and we drink when we think about His power of His Spirit by which He rose, that He wants to give to His people so that we are sanctified, so that we are more made like Him, so that we become like Jesus. The power that He gives, still gives. Do you need that power? He gives it through His Spirit. Eat, drink, rejoice. That power comes when we are set free from the bondage of our sins. The power of the Holy Spirit indwells us and brings us into communion so that we start talking to our Father in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. Abba, Father. Through faith we say, He is my Father. He is my Heavenly Father. He knows what is best for me. And we submit to Him joyfully and we eat and drink. And we are satisfied. Satisfied with God through Jesus Christ. Satisfied when we think about Him as the High Priest who is in the heavenly places right now. Isn't that right now? He's gathering His church. He's preserving His church. He's upholding His church. He's feeding His church. He's speaking to His church. He's praying for us in heaven. What comfort, what hope, what hope of the resurrection to come, that eternal life that He has promised to all those who trust in Jesus Christ. Eternal life. Eat, drink, rejoice. That's what faith does. It satisfies. Jesus is the bread of life. He satisfies my soul to the full. And David saw it in pictures, forms. All those things he could meditate on in the tabernacle. All these things were pointing forward. And we have it in full. We have it in full. How much more should we be satisfied? David longed. I am satisfied in God. He said, my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. How much more should we? Be satisfied with Jesus Christ. Delight in Him. When do you delight in Him? When you know I have nothing. I'm full of sin. And when you know that you don't long after God the way you should, when you know I cannot pay for sin, when you know I cannot live a perfect life, I cannot earn my forgiveness, I cannot live eternally, then you look away and you see He gives it. He gives it. He gives it. There's nothing better. Nothing better than to find everything in Jesus Christ. And then you begin to long. But must we not confess, especially as believers, how often those longings are too weak. Too weak. Those longings are often interrupted, distracted. But when we hear about it again, I hope it stirs up our heart to focus on Christ more, to delight in Him more, to see what He has finished more. Look and be satisfied. Then never mind our circumstances. When our heart and mind focuses on Jesus Christ, when our heart and mind focuses on God, who is our delight, that's what we need. And that's what David is doing, even in the middle of the night. Verse 6. He's thinking about God. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. He remembers God. We need to be reminding ourselves. Because forgetting God is sin. We need to remind ourselves. We need to speak to ourselves. Don't forget God. Look to God. What has Jesus done? When does he do that, children? He's on his bed. He's in the night. Now, maybe that's not with you necessarily. Maybe your problems are not so big that they make you lay awake at night. But how often is not the case, especially when we get older, that we lay awake at night and our thoughts are on our problems and they become bigger and they become worse in the night? How we need this thinking about God, turning our eyes, or the eyes of our heart to God, meditating, pondering, giving Him serious thought, whispering, maybe speaking softly to ourselves, hoping God. We need to think about God. We need to meditate on God. Even in the night watches, He says, I remember thee and meditate on thee. Do you focus your mind on God when you lay awake at night? When you're thinking about your problems? We need to learn to focus our attention to God. If someone is here in love, right, then is it difficult to think about your lover? The one you love? Is it difficult to turn your minds there? How? What a terrible thing it is if we love God that we find it sometimes difficult to think about. Or that our mind doesn't go there automatically. That should be the case. When we love Him, we remind ourselves, He is so good, He is so gracious, we meditate on. But instead, how often we find ourselves meditating on all those things that go wrong. We need more of this heavenly mindedness, even through the week, not just on your bed, but always. That made Paul, who spoke often about heavenly mindedness, he spoke about that, he was singing in the prison. David turns his attention to God, and that's what we need to do and learn to do. What do we see? He knows me. He sees me. He's almighty. He's everywhere present. He's gracious. He's just. What is there that He can do? He can do everything. He's the creator. He knows my limits. He's the redeemer. He's given His Son. He's kind. He's patient. He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Even if I go through those dark valleys, He's there with me. His rod, His staff, they comfort me. He's my God. He's my helper. He's my helper. If you're thinking about things and you're struggling with things and you're going through trials, where is your thought going? How can the thought about God help you at that moment? When you turn your thoughts, He is my shepherd. He's my helper. He's just. He's merciful. He's everywhere present. He knows. He can hear. What does that mean for your trial? For your difficulty? It sparks hope. It should spark delight. And then, third thing, David delights in a safe place that he has. He's sheltering in God. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. He speaks there about God, his help. He looks back. God has done it before. He can do it again. He upholds me. He's helped me in my deepest woe. He hears my cries. And He is a shelter, a safe place, under the shadow of thy wings. Well, maybe he was thinking about the cherubim, those wings that represented God's presence as well. Maybe he was thinking about that simple picture, children, and a hen and her chicks fleeing there under the safety of his wings. God is a refuge. Come to God. Shelter under the wings of the Lord Jesus Christ. That brings delight. That brings rest. That brings joy. That brings confidence. He cares. David Brainerd was a missionary who was going through to evangelize one day among the Indians in North America. And suddenly there was a storm. And he found a hollow tree and he sat there for some time and he became hungry. He prayed and said, Lord, I need food. He was one who lived close to the Lord. And what happened? God sent a little squirrel, brought a nut, and another nut, and another nut for 3 days. 3 days in the storm. God provided and sent him a scroll. That's the God we are serving. That's the God we are, that you can shelter with him. He could even shelter literally in that hollow tree. God knows our need. And that's what we need. And then we learn, thirdly, that God is my defense. Verses 8 through 11. Let's do that very briefly. My soul follows hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Here is actually the secret of the psalm. This is the secret of the psalm. Because David is indeed seeking. He is indeed thirsting after God. He's reminding himself of God. He's meditating. He's delighting. He's trusting. It's no surprise when this psalm says he follows hard after God. It doesn't come as a surprise. He's clinging to God. But the secret is here. Thy right hand upholds me. That's the secret of every true believer. God comes and takes hold of us. We are pursuing because God has taken hold of us. He upholds us. We are weak. In our weakness, He comes with His right hand of favor and He takes hold of us. And therefore we pursue. And therefore we cling. Think about Jacob when he was wrestling with God. He wrestled with God. He held on to God. Do not let thee go except thou bless me. And what is it actually what made him cling to God? It was ultimately God who was more powerful. The strength of God. Children, if you have magnets, you play with magnets. If you have a big magnet and a small magnet, God is the big magnet. So ultimately, it seems like this magnet has a little power too to draw close to God, right? But ultimately, it's the power of that big magnet that pulls That's the idea. God comes and he upholds. He takes hold of David, and therefore he follows hard after God. He holds him in his almighty grip. And he talks about the enemies. And the enemies of verse 9 and 10, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion of the foxes. But the mouth of them that speaks lies shall be stopped. You see, the enemies that he had, when he focuses on God, this is the lesson for us tonight. When he focuses on God, all the circumstances come, they are pushed to the end of the psalm. Do you see that? There are other psalms that he comes right with his circumstances. But now David's faith is focusing on God, and all the enemies, all the difficulties and trials are pushed to the background. And that's what happens when we focus on what God has. He's my defender. He's my helper. He's my shelter. I can be saved with him. The more we know the power of God against our enemies, our sin, our Satan, the more we know that he fights the battle against those. Even those sins in ourselves. That's what we need. Like David. And then you can entrust your future. That's the last thing here. To God as well. You can entrust your enemies. God will take care of that. You can entrust your future. Why? Verse 11. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that swears by him shall glory. Future is in his hands, because he's speaking here about himself. He's the king. Right? He's the king. And he trusts in the greater king, who will do what is right, who will bring him back if he wants so. He trusts. God will do what is right. I will rejoice in him. I will rejoice in him. What an important lesson. When we focus on God, all those troubles and trials can go to the background. Let us trust. Focus on God. Believer, do the same. Do the same tonight. Focus on him. Delight in him. Because then you can say with David as well, God is better than life. God is better than life. And that's what we see. This is very special. This psalm is no request, no prayer request. He simply delights in God. And he trusts. But it does more. Finally, it points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you say, maybe I don't have all those desires. Well, look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater David, for a moment. Because if ever there was one who thirsted for his father, it was him. It was him. He thirsted after God. If ever there was one who gave everything up, it was Jesus. If ever there was one who was persecuted by fallen sons and daughters, it was Jesus. They want the throne. Sinners want the throne. If ever there was one who trusted his Father perfectly in all his troubles, it was Jesus. If ever there was one who sought his Father early, it was Jesus. If ever there was one who perfectly delighted his soul in God, even during the night and even during his troubles, it was Jesus. If ever there was one who perfectly praised God, it was him. If ever there was one who rejoiced in the shadow of his Father's wings in the presence of God, it was him. If ever there was one who delighted in God's power and in its God's glory, and who knew it personally, firsthand, who was delighting in God's shadow, the shadow of God's presence from eternity. He knew what heaven was all about. It was Jesus. If ever there was one who knew the almighty, powerful hand of his Father upholding him, I will uphold you, I will strengthen you. If ever there was one who trusts his Father perfectly, even when he was wickedly attacked, and there were souls to destroy him. If ever there was one who trusted his Father when there were people speaking lies, all the liars' mouths, he knew, would one day be stopped. His Father would defend him. He knew that those who ignore him
will go into the lower parts of the earth. He knew that despite his crucifixion and death, he would rejoice again in God, in his Father's presence, as King of kings and Lord of lords. This psalm leads us to worship Jesus. Everything that you miss is in him. Look to him. He's that King that says tonight, trust me, come to me, desire me, delight in me. I will defend you. Bow before me. Pursue me. Rejoice in me. Trust in me for salvation. Everything is in me. That's better than life. That's better than life. Better than living in a sin-cursed world. But if you think tonight that you know better, you think there's something better in this world, your lying mouth will one day be stopped. And he will do what is right. He will bring you to the lower parts of the earth. So let me warn you, lovingly, come, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Flee to this gracious King. Today is the day of salvation. Come, find in him everything you lack. Amen.